First of all, we've had a wonderful time celebrating this Easter season. Today, we celebrate the fact that Jesus is risen from the dead. But as we come to that, that factor in our lives, of course, we want to remember that our text is very important to all of us. And this is our last Sunday to prove, for those of you who are guests today, we have been memorizing Colossians 1, 15 to 20. We have literally spent months working together, and the congregation has it all memorized. I am convinced of that. But so that you can follow along as well, we're going to leave the text up there for everybody to follow along. Colossians 1, 15 to 20 presents us with the truth that we believe about Jesus Christ. A wonderful opportunity for us to, in sort of a capsule form, declare together what Jesus is and what he means to us. So, Colossians 1, 15 to 20, everyone repeating together. Now, Christ is the visible expression of the invisible God. He existed before creation began, for it was through him that everything was made, whether spiritual or material, seen or unseen. Through him and for him also were created power and dominion, ownership and authority. In fact, every single thing was created through and for him. He is both the first principle and the upholding principle of the whole scheme of creation. And now he is the head of the body, which is composed of all Christian people. Life from nothing began through him, and life from the dead began through him. And he is therefore justly called the Lord of all. It was in him that the full nature of God chose to live. And through him, God planned to reconcile in his own person, as it were, everything on earth and everything in heaven by virtue of the sacrifice of the cross. How'd you do, Pat? Okay, great. Well, wonderful. I hope all of us will just take this passage into our hearts and continue to work on it and memorize it, because it is so vital and so important to our Easter message. What I want us to notice this morning is that Jesus Christ came to bring us abundant life. And this verse particularly points to that factor. Life from nothing began through him, and life from the dead began through him, and he is therefore justly called the Lord of all. You see, this is the resurrection message. Life from nothing. Jesus was a part of creation. Life from the dead. He was the first to resurrect from the dead. Therefore, life from nothing and life from the dead began through him, and he is therefore justly called the Lord of all. Now, we've tried to illustrate this reality through our Holy Week. As we have walked with Christ through this week, we started out with the triumphal entry, and we observed several things about that. But as we look at it today, I want to remind us that Jesus came riding on a colt or on a donkey. This symbolizes that he came in peace, rather than coming riding on a mighty stallion, a horse with power and dominion. He came as the Prince of Peace. Jesus was entering Jerusalem to begin a phase of his life and ministry that was so vital and so important to us, as he came to bring us the possibility through the cross of knowing peace with Jesus Christ, with the Lord himself. Through what he did on the cross, we can have peace with God. Then we observed on Wednesday evening, we were together and talked about the Lord's Supper and how Jesus gave his life as a sacrifice for each of us. And when we take communion, the reason for the meaning in that is because Jesus told us to take the bread and take the cup. And when we eat and drink, we remember what Jesus has done for us. That was the first commemoration of the Lord's Supper. And we celebrated that. One of the important factors is, during that meal, Jesus washed the feet of the disciples. In other words, this Prince of Peace, who came into Jerusalem in peace, was also the one who came to serve us, to be our servant. And symbolically, as he washed the disciples' feet, he was illustrating how God had called him to be the servant of all. And then, of course, Good Friday, as we call it, was the commemoration of the death of Christ on the cross. The interesting thing about the cross is that when Jesus died on the cross, he literally bore our sins. But he died alone. He did not cause the pain and agony of the cross to be equally shared by all of us, although there was certainly a lot of disappointment and certainly a lot of regret and certainly a lot of pain in the lives of the people who were there. The fact is, Jesus went to the cross. He bore our sins, sins of the past, those who were present, and sins of the future. He bore on himself on the cross. And because of that, we can celebrate the joy of having forgiveness. But beyond that, we know that that was not the end of the story. The resurrection illustrates to us that God not only provides for us in this life, he not only provides for us life in abundance in its various forms, he not only provides for us life that is full and complete, he also gives us the promise of eternal life. And that's the message I want us to look at this morning. I want us, first of all, to take a look at the resurrection story. And I've invited Carol to come and read that story for us as we look at this passage in Luke chapter 24. It begins with verse 1.
But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices they had prepared. And they found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, behold, two men stood by them in dazzling apparel. And as they were frightened and bowed their faces to the ground, the men said to them, "Why do you seek the living amongst the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified and on the third day rise." And they remembered his words. And returning from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Mary the mother of James and the other women with them who told these things to the apostles. But these words seemed to them an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter rose and ran to the tomb. Stooping and looking in, he saw the linen clothes by themselves, and he went home and marveled at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Our Father, we pray that you will help us this morning as we look at this text. Help us to see ourselves in the light of what is explained to us here in your word. And Lord, help us all to turn to Jesus, who is that promise of abundant life for each and every one of us. Thank you, Lord, for your word. We commit ourselves to you and pray that you will speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So as we begin today, we want to recognize that where we're headed is toward this key phrase. Jesus himself said, "I will rise again." And the angels declared, "He is risen," just as he said. In the face of all the disaster, all of the trouble, all of the problems that took place during Holy Week, in face of all the deceptions that the disciples must have felt in their hearts, the final pronouncement, the word that is vital to us, is here contained in this very simple phrase. Jesus said, and the angel said, He is risen, just as he said. Now, I want us to take a look at this verse as we consider it. The fact is, if Jesus Christ is not risen from the dead, then our preaching is in vain. There is no reason for us to preach the gospel unless Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. We are even found to misrepresent God's truth if Jesus is not risen from the dead. And so I want us to recognize this morning that the key or pivotal point of all we believe rests on this fact. Did Jesus rise from the dead, as he said, in fulfillment of the Word of God? This is a critical moment in the history of all that we believe, in all the things we are committed to as followers of Jesus Christ. So let's take a look at the message. First of all, I want us to note that it didn't start very well. The women, on the first day of the week, before dawn, headed for the tomb, taking spices that they had prepared. Obviously, they felt, the fact is, the cross meant death. And kids, if you're following along in your outlines, here's where you get your first two words. The cross meant death. When we look at the cross and what it symbolizes, not only for humans, but for the divine as well, Jesus, as the Son of Man, died on the cross. The truth is, the cross meant death. Unfortunately, for those who observed it and couldn't remember what Jesus had promised, for them, it was sort of a final point. Jesus had died. The cross meant death. Therefore, they took spices and went to the tomb, wondering who was going to roll the stone away from the tomb. Recognizing that they were not capable, and yet, for some reason, following tradition, they felt they needed to go and anoint the dead body of Jesus. They found it hard to embrace the reality that Jesus could have risen from the dead. The cross meant death. The second point, they found the stone had been rolled away. But when they went in, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. In other words, the evidence said death does not mean the end. And yet there was an incredible conflict between what they assumed as they went to the tomb and what they discovered as the evidence presented itself. We know from the story that they began to explore and try to discover who had taken Jesus' body, where had they taken it, so that they could go and do these commemorative acts. Huh? The evidence, even in face of all that had happened, said, no, Jesus is not here. Jesus is not dead, but they couldn't see it. The evidence said death did not mean the end. The tomb was empty. The stone was rolled away. And the angel said, the end is only the beginning. The end is only the beginning. What we look at as the end of life, death itself, in Jesus' case, and for each of us, since Jesus Christ rose from the dead, those of us who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ embrace the reality that life after death is a reality. Life after physical death is something that all of us can experience. We do not need to stop living with our physical death. Eternal life is promised us through Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the question came. The angel said, why do you seek the living among the dead? He is not here. but has risen. So what are we going to do with this truth? What did the disciples do with the truth? Well, that's what I want us to look at. He is not here. He is risen. This was what was declared. But what did they do with it? First of all, the disciples. If you look at the text we read, they said, this cannot be. This can't be true. This is an idle tale. I do not believe. This is an idle tale. I do not believe. Peter said, he wasn't one of those who was satisfied just to listen to the truth and then absorb it and say, it's just an idle tale. He ran to the tomb. He went in. He looked. And he walked out. And he realized, this is something marvelous. But did he really believe? This is something incredible. And I think for any of us, we recognize in our society today, there are people who would say, wow, if that's true, that's marvelous, you know? But do they really believe? Some of us find ourselves in that place where we say, yes, Christianity, a wonderful faith, but it's filled with a lot of sort of idle tales. Others of us say, wow, wouldn't that be great? If Jesus really rose from the dead, wouldn't that be incredible? That's marvelous. That'd be wonderful. But I want us to notice what Mary said. She said, I have seen the Lord. I have seen the Lord. We know the story. She was standing beside the tomb. She heard a voice behind her. She thought it was the gardener. When she turned and they had a brief dialogue, Mary realized this was Jesus. And she went to the disciples with all of the excitement she could muster. And she said, I have seen the Lord. Can you imagine how excited she would have been? She had seen the Lord. Have you found him in that kind of a relationship where the resurrection story is one that brings joy and excitement and enthusiasm to your spiritual walk? And even though you may be passing through difficult times, even though you may have questions, even though there may be doubts that you have to face, the fact is, there's a point in your life, there's a time in your life when Jesus Christ became that resurrected reality. And you cling to that truth. And you know that promise. You know you have seen the Lord. And therefore, your life is different. You see, those responses are responses that we read in the scripture. But the real question is, what do you say? What do you say? Is it just idle tale? Is it something that could be true? Is it something you marvel over? Or is it something that you have discovered to be a reality, a personal truth in your life? And therefore, you are excited because you know Jesus has risen from the dead. Jesus has transformed your life. And Jesus has made you someone different. You see, we don't have the privilege of seeing Jesus. The disciples later on had this confirmation, and one of the stories is about doubting Thomas. Thomas was one who said, unless I put my finger in his hands and touch the side where he has been wounded, I will not believe. And Jesus comes to the disciples. And Thomas is with them this time. And as they meet together, Jesus invites Thomas to explore his wounds, to discover the truth that he had died, but had risen again. He was the one who had been on the cross. and now was resurrected. And as he invited Thomas, he then concluded by saying, "Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." So this morning, we come to the place where we recognize we can categorize ourselves in any of those categories. Idle tale, marvelous truth, I have seen the Lord, probably not fit us because we have not physically with our own eyes seen the Lord. But in our hearts, we can believe because Jesus promises, blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. Coming to church on Easter Sunday is an opportunity for you to look at your heart again. I trust you've done that. I trust that you've looked carefully at what the Lord is saying to you today. And if you have not found yourself in that place where you with Mary can declare by faith, in your case, I have seen the Lord, I pray that the Lord would speak to your heart and help you make that commitment today. Shall we pray? Our Father, I'm thankful this morning for your presence and for your grace, which is so strong and so effective in our lives. I pray that your Holy Spirit will minister to each of us today. And Father, if there's anyone here this morning who has not yet taken that step of faith to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior, I pray that you would give them a clear vision of the resurrected Jesus and that you would speak to their hearts and call them to yourself in Christ's name. Amen.